This podcast is featured on the Gun Rights Radio Network. You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under Sources. Podcasting freedom.
It's time for On Target Radio, Chicagoland's only radio show dedicated to educating, entertaining, and discussion of firearms, legislation, and your Second Amendment rights. Presented in part by the Illinois State Rifle Association, Action Target, and Safer USA. Now here's your host, firearm instructor, educator, and enthusiastic Second Amendment proponent, David Lombardo.
And welcome to On Target Radio, America's voice for the Second Amendment. I'm David Lombardo, and my co-host Tim Dalen across the council. Say hi, Tim.
Howdy, Dave.
You notice the mic is still doing the sag.
Got a drooping mic.
I have a drooping mic. It's maybe it's my personality. I don't know.
I'm sure it is.
It could very well be. I'm not sure. But anyway, Tim and I are here every Sunday night. Tim may be more short-lived than others if he keeps giving me grief, but every Sunday night from 9 to 10 p.m. and talking all things Second Amendment. And it is your opportunity to call in, talk to our guests, challenge them, ask them questions. We will take your questions and comments at 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600, or go to Facebook.
Go to Facebook.
Like our On Target Radio page, and you can ask a question there.
We're watching. We're there.
Tonight's show is interesting. I'm not sure how this is going to go tonight. It's going to be very interesting to see how this works. Tonight we're going to be talking about the American Jewish community and guns. And just in the pre-show briefing, we all have our own sort of opinion. So we're going to get to that in a minute. But first. As you well know, it's my rant of the week.
And I actually agree with this one.
That's rare. I was called to task about last week's rant, Take Back America. And it was an email. It said, "Take back America." He who shall go nameless wrote in an email. He said, "From whom? The voting majority, the power of demographics, the rule of law? No one took America from anyone," it said. "The political minority, and apparently you," meaning me, "think you have rights superior to the majority of Americans as though you know better," unquote. Mm. It's a scathing indictment, to be sure.
It's
fine. You just jump in. You can read it for me. It's a scathing indictment, to be sure, but one that falls far more squarely on the shoulders of the liberals. When the vote goes the way of liberals, it's democracy in practice, and complaints from the right are childish rants seeking to subvert the will of the people. When a vote goes against the liberals, well, that's a different story. It doesn't count. Take, for instance, the recent shellacking the Messiah, his four horsemen of the apocalypse, and the U.S. Senate took over their ridiculous anti-personal protection initiative. What happened to the vox populi the liberals professed to be so important? The people spoke, the anti-personal protection crowd lost, and so the only logical conclusion is that mean old underhanded NRA juked the numbers. The NRA subverted the will of the people. Now, let's just get this straight. The NRA doesn't have one single vote, not one. What it does have is the collective voice of millions of Americans, and the NRA can mobilize those voters to make telephone calls. The only thing all politicians have in common is they want to ride that gravy train as long as possible, and the voice of millions of voters warning them that their tenure is tenuous makes one heck of a difference. And that, boys and girls, is vox populi. Much has been made in the media and by politicians of the supposed 90% of Americans said to support expansion of background checks to cover transactions at gun shows and other private sales. Turns out, like most liberal hogwash, it's made-up fantasy designed to pull the wool over voters' eyes. According to a recent Gallup poll, and I quote, "Few Americans mention guns or immigration as the most important problems facing the nation today, despite the current attention lawmakers in Washington are giving to these issues. The economy still dominates as the top concern, followed by jobs, and get this, and dissatisfaction with the general way in which Congress and the government work," unquote. The poll indicates only about 4% of Americans think guns and gun control is an important problem facing the country. Now, how does that sit with the anti-personnel protection crowd? The ones who talk about how important it is to listen to what American public thinks, well, they're starting yet another all-out assault against gun owners. So buckle your seatbelts, Tim, because we're in for yet another bumpy ride. Bloomberg's Mafia, Mayors Against Illegal Guns, a group with a higher percentage of thieves, con men, felons, and child molesters than even the Congress can boast, is preparing to attempt to drive a tank over what the majority really thinks, which leads me to once again ask the question, when are we going to take back America? And that is my rant for the week, Timmy.
I totally agree with that. I don't understand when they blame everything on the NRA. I am the NRA. You are the NRA. We pay our membership dues to the NRA for what we believe in. It's not, the NRA is representing us, just like, you know, any representative in Washington, D.C. would. They represent us.
It's okay when the liberal groups do it, but certainly
well,
not when we do.
Mr. and Mrs. Liberal, you put your money in an organization that believes in what you believe in. You put your money where your mouth is. Don't sit there in your little house and say that the gun owners are wrong. You go and do what we do. We stand up for our rights. We pay our money to represent us.
And show
That's
our face.
That's what we're doing. And
show
we're,
our face. You
right.
got it. All right. Tonight, American Jewish Community and Guns. Call us at 312-642-5600 and voice your opinion. This is On Target Radio, AM 560, The Answer. And we are going to be talking to Charles Heller. Charles is the Executive Director of Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership. Charles, thank you for being with us tonight.
My pleasure. I'm glad I could be had.
And Mike Sakoff, who's a senior account executive here at WIND, those of you who have been listening to the show for any amount of time at all know at the end of every show, we always say the same thing, and that is, and thanks, Mike, for making it all possible. Did you know we say that, Michael?
I don't recall hearing it. I must have missed that show,
You must
Dave.
Have missed it. Thank you for being with us
every
tonight, Michael.
Single show.
But I am excited for my debut on your show.
We appreciate it. So, Charles and Mike, one of you. Let me explain why we're here. Well, we're here because I have a radio show, but let me explain why we're having this topic. When I was in Vietnam in 1967, I don't know at that age, 20 years old, that I really paid any attention to Israel at all, but we were sort of slogging through kind of a difficult war, you know, going rice paddy to rice paddy. And in the paper is about this little country who becomes surrounded by Arabs who say we're going to eradicate them, wipe them off the face of the earth, destroy them. 10-1 against. There were 10-1 odds. And in 6 days, that little country just kicked the living snot out of all of them. And to this day, those people who started that war complain about the land they lost in a war that they started with 10-1 odds. Now, here's the question that I have. If you look at the history of Jews, anti-Semitism goes all the way back to the Seleucid Empire, like 300 BC. In Europe and in the Middle East, every country has tried to kick the snot out of Jews. If I were Jewish, I'd be the most heavily armed person on earth. Can you explain why there seems to be an anti-gun bias?
Yeah. Oh, you mean within the Jewish
yeah,
community?
Exactly.
Yeah, there is. Because what happened is over the many, many centuries of persecution, the Jewish people developed somewhat of a herd mentality. They developed a form of communitarianism. And any where the will of the group becomes very important to survival. And it, like any herd, the outliers of the herd can be picked off, but the herd will survive. And so they developed a herd instinct. And any move towards an individual act of self-defense, such as arming oneself, is viewed, much as Colonel David Grossman says, they fear both the sheep, the wolf and the sheepdog. And so the person who declares himself to be the sheepdog is greatly feared, almost as much, if not more so, than the wolf, because the wolf exists somewhere out there, and the sheepdog is where they can see him. And so they've learned to fear the sheepdog because of individual action as opposed to a collective mindset.
Well, we had a discussion in the pre-show briefing, and there was, among the three of the four of us, there really wasn't, no two of us agreed. I feel exactly the same way. Mike, you don't see it quite the same way.
Well, that was an interesting description, and I guess it makes a lot of sense. I didn't realize there was such an anti-gun sentiment within the Jewish community. Most of the Jewish people I know, family, friends, they're very pro-Second Amendment, and a lot of them own firearms, so maybe it's just the circles I hang in. I don't really...
Well, Mike, you're in sales, so you need to be a rational person, and rational people tend to seek out the companionship of other rational human beings. So that just goes to your good judgment and explains why you're probably the senior salesman there.
I think it also has, I was telling Dave and Tim also, it has a lot to do with my family. My grandfather was a Chicago police officer for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a Marine, and we were my brothers and my sisters, we were all exposed to firearms when we were young. So, you know, maybe I'm bucking the norm a little bit, but that's kind of my frame.
No, I think you're normal because the guys who came back from World War II did not have an aversion to the tools of freedom and the tools of force. My granddad was a judge for 21 years in the municipal court in Chicago, and there wasn't a day he went to work without a 38 in his belt line. And my dad was a bailiff, then he was in World War II as a tanker in the 702nd Tank Battalion. And he always had a 45. And may I tell a short story? Have we got time?
Well, I've got 20 seconds. So
no,
how about
it.
We pick it
can
up?
I do it after the break. I think it's instructive about how I came into the gun world.
We'll do that. And I also want to talk about a comment you had made to me about gun control being racist. So we'll pick up when we come back after these few messages. You're listening to On Target Radio, AM 560, The Answer.
For over 100 years, the Illinois State Rifle Association has supported the rights and freedoms of Illinois citizens to keep and bear arms. For over 100 years, the ISRA has supported the use of firearms as a sport for personal protection and as a fundamental aspect of national defense. For over 100 years, the Illinois State Rifle Association has been supporting you. Don't you think it's time you supported them? ISRA.org or 815-635-3198. The Illinois State Rifle Association. Supporting you.
For 35 years, Pelcher's Shooter's Supply has served the Lansing area. Pelcher's offers new and used firearm sales, appraisals, and gunsmithing service. Pelcher's new spacious showroom has hundreds of major brand firearms and supplies, and PelcherGuns.com features daily specials. Pelcher's Shooter's Supply, on the corner of Ridge Road and Henry Street in downtown Lansing. Online at PelcherGuns.com or call 708-474-0662.
You're listening to On Target Radio on AM 560, The Answer, with David Lombardo. Here's David with more interesting conversation on firearms, safety, your Second Amendment rights, and much more.
I am absolutely not going to forget it tonight. So, Mike, how's it going? No. Here it is, the thing that you have really been waiting to get behind you ever since the show started. It's Tim's Fighting Back.
As brought to you by the Illinois State Rifle Association. This week's Fighting Back was sent to us by Jim Perry, a good friend and listener from Mokena, Illinois. A citizen with a gun stopped a knife-wielding man as he began stabbing people Thursday evening in downtown Salt Lake City store. Police say the suspect purchased a knife inside the store and then turned it into a weapon. The knife-wielding man seriously injured two people. Then before the suspect could find another victim, in fighting back, a citizen with a gun stopped him. A good guy pulled a gun on the bad guy and told him to drop his weapon or he would shoot him. So the bad guy dropped his weapon, and then employees and shoppers grabbed him. By the time officers arrived, the suspect had been subdued. Police had high praise for the concealed carry holder who ended the hysteria. Lieutenant Brian Purvis said this was a volatile situation that could have gotten worse. He was definitely in the right place at the right time. This has been Fighting Back, brought to you by the Illinois State Rifle Association.
Pithy. Always pithy. I'm very excited by that. For everyone's information, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Mike Sakoff is here. He's our account representative here at WIND. Great guy. He just got through telling me that nobody made a phone call in the first segment. If we don't get any phone calls asking questions in the second segment, they're canceling the show. So I would suggest if you want to hear Tim, no, forget Tim. If you want to hear me, you want to call 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600, and pin either Mike's or Charles' ears to the wall. Yes.
So that means if they don't call in, that means that they'll dump you and it'll be just me. So
please call. Oh, please call. Charles, you wanted to tell us a story and we had to cut you short. Please do.
Really briefly. Number one, I grew up listening to WIND on the radio. It's a real honor to be here. Number two, thank you both for your service, Dave in the Army and Tim in the Marines. I appreciate
Thank you.
Appreciate your service.
Yes, thanks.
I grew up, my dad never never kept the gun in the house. He kept it at our grandfather's house. And on Saturdays, we'd go visit Grandpa, and he'd take the gun out, and he'd show it to me, starting at about age six. It was a 1911, and he took it out, and he put it together, and he said, this is how it goes together. This is how it comes apart. This is how it goes back together. This is how you hold it. He handed it to me at six, made me point it away from everybody. And then he said, when you can take this apart and put it together yourself, you may shoot it. He then took it apart, removed the ammo, and walked out of the room and left me with the pieces. And over the years, over a period of from age 6 to 11, I fiddled with it. And one day I got it put together, and I put it back in the bag, unbeknownst to him, assembled. And when I asked him the next week to take it out, he reached in for the parts and came out with a whole gun.
Cool.
He said, hey, how did that happen? I said, I figured it out. He said, when do you want to shoot it? I said, how about on my birthday? And for my 11th birthday, we went to Bell's, back when Ma Bell still
ran. Oh, my gosh, on Mannheim.
Yep. Yes, exactly, on Mannheim near the airport. And that thing made music so sweet, I have never lost the tune. That's how I got into the gun culture.
Now,
and subsequent to that, I always had a range in the basement of my grandfather's house at 636 Melrose, just one house away from the one house west from Nettlehorst School. And I had a range, a BB gun range in the basement. I had an 1894 Winchester, and I probably fired 30,000 BBs at a coffee tin lid 60 feet away until I could not miss. And that's how I got to be part of the gun culture.
An interesting way to get into it, no doubt. You're listening to AM 560, The Answer. We're talking about the American Jewish community and guns. And our guest in the studio this evening are Charles Heller, Executive Director of Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership, and Mike Sakoff, a Senior Account Exec here at WIND. Would you say, Charles, that, and I want an opinion, obviously, but would you say that the Jewish community in the United States tends to be liberal?
Yeah, for the most part, probably 65%, maybe 62% liberal. And and none of it, because we tend to be more professionals, more lawyers, more doctors, more accountants, more white collar professionals, we tend to be in professions that have less to do with firearms, although certainly not entirely.
Now, you had made a comment, and it's something that I felt for a long time. I have been saying for a very long time that gun control is racist. And the most recent example is imposing all kinds of taxes to own a firearm in Chicago so that the very people that need it the most are unable to afford it for personal protection. Give me your take on the gun control is racist.
Well, for instance, this morning I had on my program here in Tucson, Mabel Goodman in Chicago. And Mabel is a lady who is 26. She's black. She's a single mom. She's working very hard. She just got her degree from the community college there. She's working two jobs, and she had a home invasion robbery. She lives in the 60625 zip code, 26. She's west of downtown a ways.
Okay, yeah.
And she called the police four separate times during the home invasion. She locked herself with her child, her five-year-old, then four, I believe, in the bathroom. And while the people were in her house and was calling 911 frantically, four phone calls over 30 minutes did not elicit a police response. About 40 minutes later, they arrived there. She then called her family. They showed up, and the burglars had a tail gunner lookout outside. And when the tail gunner spotted her family show up, he called to the burglars, and they exited quickly. That's how the burglary ended. Luckily, she wasn't injured. She had no weapon, and she had no idea of how to get a weapon. She is now looking for one.
Well, and you know, I have to say that we can't blame the police because no one could afford the taxes to put a cop on every corner. But that's the reality.
Well, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away.
Exactly. And you know, it's the argument that we've made for years, and that is, each person should be responsible for their own well-being, and the state is not. Shouldn't be a nanny state, and that's, I think, what the issue is all about.
It's not the police's fault that, you know, it takes them that long to get there. As you said, we can't afford to put a cop on every street corner,
and I don't think we want one there either.
No, we don't. So
you know what they call that when there is one, right?
Exactly. We have a call from Woodrow. Woodrow, how are you doing this evening?
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I understand that Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership is based in Wisconsin, and I thought the leader might like to know about a letter that I sent to the Milwaukee Journal that they refused to publish. It was when their mayor said that the NRA idea of having armed guards at schools was ridiculous and would lead to a police state. And I said, that doesn't lead to a police state. It's taking away people's rights and disarming them that leads to the police state.
Right.
And I finished my comment by saying, and another thing, the FDA has failed America by not really screening these antidepressant drugs, because all the incidents, Newtown, Aurora, Tucson, Columbine, they all involved people with guns who had been taking FDA-approved antidepressant drugs.
Actually, Tucson didn't.
Okay. And I said, I know about that because in 1975, my grandfather used a gun in his own body to protect his wife and his daughter from being killed by a man who had been taking antidepressant drugs and had a gun.
Woodrow,
so
thank you.
I know about this.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm very sensitive to this news, and I catch the little things that the main news media leaves out about these antidepressants that are approved by the FDA and that lead to hallucinations for suicide and homicide.
Woodrow, thanks for your phone call. So I think he makes a good point. There is that issue, and that was one of the issues that they were talking about and doing background checks, being able to integrate psychological profiles, that type of thing.
That's full of we have a thing out here called Choya cactus. They're known as jumping cactus.
Oh yes, I discovered
that.
You
just walk by one and get one in your foot, and it sort of walks its way. It looks like a pickle with porcupine spines, and it walks its way up until it gets right about to the calf of your leg. You move a little bit, and the sucker goes through your pants, and you feel like you've been stung by about 45 bees at once. And that's the type of thing, the sticky wicket, that the psychological stuff imposes. Look, the guy, and I never, ever give the popularity of people, like give them the oxygen of publicity by saying their name, but the Tucson killer went through a background check and passed, and so did the Virginia Tech killer. Both of them passed the background check. Background checks are feckless. You want to do them at an FFL dealer, okay, it's the law, fine. But the whole idea that you're going to stop anybody, either a nut or a criminal, from getting a gun is simply stupid. Look at the killing in Buffalo, the guy who got out of jail after being in for murder for 18 years for killing his grandmother, I believe with a hammer, got out and he had a rifle and he shot four firemen, two of whom died. He was a convicted felon.
Exactly. We're in the next segment, we're going to have Richard Pearson, Executive Director of the Illinois State Rifle Association. Charles, can you hang on to come back in our fourth?
I'd be glad to, and I know Richard well from GRPC. I'd be happy to
talk
with him or wait, either way.
Well, we will have Richard's pithy words coming up after these few messages. You're listening to On Target Radio, AM 560, The Answer.
Some people shoot beer cans, some shoot paper plates, and some just shoot the breeze. Here at Action Target, we believe there's more to shooting than just putting holes through paper. As the world leader in shooting range design and technology, Action Target has been revolutionizing the world of firearms training for more than a quarter of a century. Go to ActionTarget.com to order your steel targets and range equipment today. That's ActionTarget.com.
For over 100 years, the Illinois State Rifle Association has supported the rights and freedoms of Illinois citizens to keep and bear arms. For over 100 years, the ISRA has supported the use of firearms as a sport for personal protection and as a fundamental aspect of national defense. For over 100 years, the Illinois State Rifle Association has been supporting you. Don't you think it's time you supported them? ISRA.org or 815-635-3198. The Illinois State Rifle Association. Supporting you.
Hi, I'm David Lombardo, host of On Target Radio. You're living proof that radio advertising reaches listeners. In the 2 years I've been advertising on AM 560 WIND, Safer USA grew from 300 students a year to over 1,200. By coupling our On Target Radio broadcast with our Facebook page, we found our audience is steadily growing, and in only 2 months, it appears we've exceeded 5,000 listeners. Over 34% are in the age group 25 to 34, 26% are 35 to 44. We have listeners from Rockford to western Michigan and southern Wisconsin to St. Louis. Thanks to live streaming on the internet, we also have listeners as far away as Germany, Japan, and New Zealand. On Target Radio is offering low-cost sponsorship opportunities on Chicago's premier conservative talk radio station. Advertising on AM 560 WIND has worked for Safer USA. Let me show you how it can work for you. Call 815-744-5487. Join the On Target Radio team today at 815-744-5487.
You're listening to On Target Radio on AM 560, The Answer, with David Lombardo. Here's David with more interesting conversation on firearms, safety, your Second Amendment rights, and much more.
Segment 3 is brought to you by the Will County Republican Lincoln Day Dinner. Support the party that supports the Second Amendment. Come to the Will County Republican Lincoln Day Dinner on Monday, May 13th at 6 p.m. The featured speaker will be Grover Norquist, president of the Americans for Tax Reform. Norquist's taxpayer protection pledge was signed by 95% of all Republican congressional members. Hear his compelling message, enjoy a great dinner, and network with fellow conservatives. For ticket information, call Ed Ronkowski, chairman of the Will County Republican Party, at 708-479-4417. That's 708-479-4417, paid for by Edward Ronkowski. And now we're going to being the number one guy with the Illinois State Rifle Association, the executive director, Richard Pearson. Richard, how are you doing this evening?
All right. How are you?
Well, we're doing good. And tell us what's going to happen in Springfield, because I get calls literally every day wanting to know what's happening.
Well, and so do I. And I think that this week we'll be dealing with some negotiations. And the next week we're going to really get down to the nitty-gritty, and it's going to happen one way or the other.
You really think that?
Yep. I mean, we're running out of days here. You know, we got our countdown clock, and it's going to get really testy after this week. Tomorrow night we have a group of meetings with various legislators, and then after that we have to take a short break and run off to the NRA convention in Houston. So be gone for a couple of days, then back. And we'll be back at it almost full-time, nonstop, until the 31st of May.
You don't think they're going to try to sneak something through on you while you're out of town, do you, Richard?
No.
Well, that was cold.
Well, the answer is we never leave any post unattended. So a couple of us will be gone, but there'll still be three or four of us there. So, you know, we're always watching. They say the cost of freedom is eternal vigilance. They were talking about Springfield.
Well, I have just been reading what they're talking about in Congress, and Bloomberg. Did you read what Bloomberg just recently wrote about? These are modern times, and we have to give up some liberty to get more security. Did you read that whole thing?
Bloomberg has actually been saying that for a number of years, and I think we ought to give up Bloomberg and have more freedom.
Yeah. Hey, Richard, the bill that's in the Senate right now, the one that wants to carve out Cook County in Chicago, is that going to come out on the floor? Is that dead, or what's going on with that?
Well, right now they haven't got enough votes, so I don't think so. We were very, very busy last week. It's kind of like the fire department. You sit around and you train and you plan. All of a sudden, the alarm rings and you go do your thing. And I think they don't have enough votes to pass it. It's extraordinarily unpopular, so I don't think that it will come out. But the reason it isn't coming out is because all the phone calls and all the things going into the senators and representatives down there, people don't want this kind of nonsense.
You're listening to On Target Radio, AM 560. The Answer, Richard. Are there any significant differences from the bill that you think will come back up for a vote next week and what we have looked at in the past, the more favorable bill?
The answer is I think that there might be a couple modifications to it, but nothing all that significant. I think it's important to realize that we have to get a concealed carry bill that is a shall issue throughout the state. That is our goal.
Exactly.
It has to be reasonable. And, most of these bills have been passed, and people work on them for years. It's not like making toast, you just push it down. 45 seconds later, you get those. This is we have a horribly anti-gun city against us who are really pouring on the coal, you know, but we're capable of pushing back on it. So most of the places in the United States don't have that ability, organization like the Illinois State Rifle Association. So we're really pushing back hard on this, and we're not going to give in very easily at all.
Anything coming up in terms of the ISRA, anything that you'd like to pass on? You got about, maybe a minute?
Well, the only thing is, of course, we want everybody to out there, if they have anybody in their household, they're a firearm owner, make sure everybody in their household has a FOID card. That's one of the things we want to do, is we want to make sure that we have plenty of FOID cards out there, because that will be required whether we go to constitutional carry or we go to regular carry, some form of carry under the law. And so that's going to be required. So we want everybody to apply as fast as they can and try to get a FOID card, because it's been underfunded by the governor. That's the problem with it. It's not exactly the Illinois State Police. They've been asking for more funding, but the governor won't give it to them. So the governor is the problem here, and we need to push him hard to make sure that that happens.
We need to push him out.
I understand that there is space next to Blagojevich, so maybe we can work something out on that one.
There is. We have our own wing.
That's it. Richard, thank you, as always, for being on the show. We're always happy to have you.
Thanks, Richard.
All right, thanks. Bye.
All right, and so that's what's happening with the ISRA and what's happening with concealed carry. And we're going to be back with more American Jewish Community and guns after these few messages. You're listening to On Target Radio, AM 560, The Answer. I'm David Lombardo, president of Safer USA, Chicagoland's most popular firearm training school. We continue to offer our popular home protection and concealed carry seminar every month. This 8-hour seminar covers everything you need to know to safely and legally use a firearm for both concealed carry and home invasion, and qualifies you for Florida and Utah concealed carry permits good in about 30 states. Be sure to call and ask how we can help you raise funds for your organization or provide a guest speaker. We're also offering the NRA Basic Pistol Course and our Tactical Pistol 1 and 2. As always, I offer private one-on-one instruction for basic pistol, Chicago firearm certification, and basic home defense. For further information, please call 877-954-3030 or go to saferusa.com. Safer USA. Choosing to own a firearm is your business. Teaching to own it responsibly is ours.
That's 877-954-3030 or saferusa.com.
You're listening to On Target Radio on AM 560, The Answer, with David Lombardo. Here's David with more interesting conversation on firearms, safety, your Second Amendment rights, and much more.
And we're back with more On Target Radio. We're talking about the American Jewish Community and guns. We have a call. We have on the line Charles Heller, who is the executive director of Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. You still with us, Charles?
Shalom.
Good. And we have an interesting call from Mark, Charles. I think you'll find this interesting. Mark, how you doing?
Hey, David, how are you doing?
Go ahead and ask your question. You got about 1 minute. Ask your question. I think it's very interesting.
Sure. Actually, I'm going to say two comments. I told both of them to your screener. The first of all, I was a young teen when the Vietnam War ended, and just old enough to realize what a raw deal they got. And so I've always made it a point that whenever I see a vet or any vet, I just thank you so much for your service. So to you and to Tim, thank you for serving our country so faithfully. And to any Vietnam vets that are out there, like I said, when I was a young teen, when you guys came home, I'm sorry for what you got treated with, and just thank you so much for your service. That is kind of a standalone point, but it also leads into my second point. And I've seen two, I think, articles on like the Drudge Report or whatever that said that in some military training they had listed conservative Christians, Catholics, and in fact Jews. So it's timely that I think Charles is on the phone as potential, I think, terror perpetrators. And, you know, just like anything else, if it leaks out once, it's one thing. But if it's twice and possibly three times, it just seems like there's an undertone or, you know, possibly senior military is perpetrating a fraud. And I just would wonder what your thoughts are and and especially as former military, you know, we pray for our troops at our home pretty much every night, and I just wonder what your thoughts are about these reports, if you've heard about them, and if you haven't, I want to make your listeners aware of them.
Mike, thank you. Mark, thank you very much for the call. Charles, what's your thoughts?
I don't understand his question, and I also think it's aimed because I did not serve. I worked on the Silver Sides as a civilian volunteer when it was in Chicago, but that's as close as I came to service, and I was in ROTC. So I don't understand his question. I'm sorry. What's he saying? What's he asking?
Well, I think he was asking that, or he was suggesting that the military was actually actively looking for, I guess, fervent radical-type Christians.
Because the military doesn't trust its own? Is that what you're saying?
Zealous, exactly. Zealous.
Well, that's been true since my dad was in the military in the 40s. I mean, senior people have always had a mistrust of enlisted people, and enlisted people, to some extent, have resented officers because the enlisted people do the work. I don't think that's new or novel or special. And I think if a person signs his life, a pledge that says up to and including the price of my life if necessary to his country, that means that he's trustable with a firearm, in my way of looking at things.
I totally agree with you, Charles.
I agree, too. We've got about 3 minutes left in this segment, and then we're going to wrap up the show in the last segment. So I want to get to talk a little bit about what you do specifically. Now, a friend of ours, Marilyn, on Facebook wrote in, and she was looking at JPFO's website, and she was talking about ambassadors and was wondering if, how many do you have? What do you have to do to be an ambassador? And maybe you could just tell us about what the organization does.
Sure. JPFO is a 501c3. We're basically a publisher. What we do is we're an empowerment organization. What we do is we give you the tools to go out and bash your legislators with the truth. And we provide them, we've done a video called No Guns for Negroes. And after you scrape black folks off the ceiling because of the title, tell them that it was done with the Congress of Racial Equality people, and it explains the history of how badly blacks have been treated in this nation until the last 20 or 30 years, and much of it had to do with gun control. We give you the tools to go out and give those things to your legislators and to your friends, have a party, have people over, play the DVD for them, sit them down, feed them, give them a glass of wine, let them watch a great movie, and you can change hearts and minds in ways that you could never do by talking to them. As far as ambassadors go, ambassadors are basically recruiters, and they are people who will go to gun shows, tea parties, and other similar events and sign people up to be members of JPFO. It's pretty simple. There's no pay for it. We'll pay their parking if there's a parking place at a gun show, and we'll pay the table at the gun show for them. If they want, they can call our office at area code 262-673-9745. Again, 262-673-9745. Or go online to jpfo.org and email us through the website, and I will call you back personally and talk to you about being an ambassador.
I appreciate that, Charles. It was really great having you on. Tim, you got any last parting thoughts?
Well, Charles, I think there's sort of, I don't know if we want to say it's a phobia or whatever, but I think most people probably don't understand when you're talking about Jewish people, what that stands for in on our show and the people we know, what we're talking about with, how you understand firearms. You know, Mike is a pro firearm guy. I have a good friend, Jerry Feinstein, who is a Civil War reenactor. He's a big gun guy. So, you know, I know of people, but I hadn't really heard that Jewish people might be against this until this show.
Oh, you know, the Schumeroids exist, and a lot of the biggest people in the anti-rights, anti-self-defense rights movements are movement is Jewish. But, you know, also so are some of the biggest names in the pro-self-defense civil rights community. Alan Gura,
sure.
Gottlieb, Alan Corwin, these people that are myself, you know, that lead a national organization. There's a lot of Jewish folks that are pro-rights, and they're not anti-rights bigots.
Well,
so
Charles,
I think there's a good balance in there in the leadership.
Charles, it sounds like there is.
We thank you very much for being on this evening, and we hope to have you on again very soon.
My pleasure. JPFO.org.
You got it. Thank you. We'll be back with more On Target Radio after these brief messages. You're listening to AM 560, The Answer.
over 100 years, the Illinois State Rifle Association has supported the rights and freedoms of Illinois citizens to keep and bear arms. For over 100 years, the ISRA has supported the use of firearms as a sport for personal protection and as a fundamental aspect of national defense. For over 100 years, the Illinois State Rifle Association has been supporting you. Don't you think it's time you supported them? ISRA.org or 815-635-3198. The Illinois State Rifle Association, supporting you.
Some people shoot beer cans, some shoot paper plates, and some, well, some just shoot the breeze. Here at Action Target, we believe there's more to shooting than just putting holes through paper. As the world leader in shooting range design and technology, Action Target has been revolutionizing the world of firearms training for more than a quarter of a century. Go to ActionTarget.com to order your steel targets and range equipment today. That's ActionTarget.com.
You're listening to On Target Radio on AM 560, The Answer, with David Lombardo. Here's David with more interesting conversation on firearms, safety, your Second Amendment rights, and much more.
And we're back with more On Target Radio. Sitting in the studio with us is Mike Sakoff, my account rep here at WIND. So, Mike, when we started in the pre-show brief, we all had really very different opinions on the subject. You were thinking that there really, you know, isn't a lot of difference. You're just a demographic of the population. You were sort of, you didn't know, and I was like, wow, they all hate guns and they're all liberal. So where are we now?
Well, I think all of us talking agreed there really is no difference from my perspective. You know, I think it's got to do with your family and, you know, how you grew up and your exposure level to firearms. And, you know, your parents are big influencers. My dad and my grandfather were both influencers. I mean, pretty much all the Jewish friends and family I have all own firearms. So
Do you have any Jewish friends that are very, what you would consider very radically against firearms? Do you personally know?
You know, I have some very liberal, you know, in that 60% or so, I do have some friends that fall into that 60%, you know, hate to use labels, but liberal. And I don't know how much we've talked about firearms.
Well, I guess I'm asking in the Jewish community, you know, we all know together, you know, throwing, you know, race and religion out of the picture. You know, we all know that generally liberals this way, conservatives are that way. But in the Jewish community, the liberals of the Jewish community, are they any different than what we consider the garden variety liberal against guns?
I don't think so. I think a person's political beliefs are much more of an influence than their religion when it comes to, you know, talking about politics and the Second Amendment and owning or not owning firearms. I don't think it's along religious lines. I think it's more along political lines.
Right. I think that's probably is true. I think it is. I mean, you know, it's interesting because you work here, and this is a Christian station. I think those lines, this is 2013. I think those lines probably have just blurred a lot. I'm not sure that they exist like they did 25 years ago, for instance.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is a Christian broadcasting company, and I know people, we talk about all the political issues here.
Sure.
Because Monday to Friday, we're in such a highly political environment. And, you know, most of the Christians I work with here, too, I'd say the majority of them don't own firearms. But they all seem to be pretty pro-Second Amendment. They just don't happen to own firearms themselves.
Well, Mike, I really do appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Dave and Tim. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We want to do a little quick plug-in here. May 4th at the Aurora Sportsman's Club, we are going to teach the NRA basic pistol class and tactical pistol 1 and 2.
No. On May 4th, we are teaching basic pistol in Bonfield at the Illinois State Rifle Association range.
That's right.
If you are in Joliet or south, we have an NRA basic pistol class in Bonfield. If you are closer to Waterman, Aurora in north, the 18th in Waterman.
I stand corrected. Sorry. May 11th, we, Tim and I, will be up in Crystal Lake to meet and greet people at On Target Range. It's their first anniversary. They've invited us to come up and meet and greet and celebrate that. May 18th, we'll be doing home protection and concealed carry in Elmhurst. And May 19th, we will have a special two-hour show from 9 to 11 talking about the 15th annual Clyde Howell NRA Youth Shooting Sports Camp. We'd like to thank our guests this evening, Charles Heller and Mike Sakoff. I'd like to thank Robin Zeeland, our call screener, and George Hoffman on the board, even though he makes weird noises sometimes. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Action Target, Pelcher Shooter Supply, Illinois State Rifle Association, 31 Moons Website Developers, and Safer USA. Next week, we're going to talk about youth shooting sports programs, and we're going to have some experts in the field. Until then, Friend on Target Radio on Facebook. Say goodnight, Tim.
Good night, everyone.
You did that straight. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be back next Sunday at 9 p.m. for more On Target Radio. And sitting here in the studio, thanks, Mike, for making it all possible.